So in this season of the life of the church, we've been reading through the book of Exodus. And we're stopped off at Exodus chapter 22. So Genesis, the first book, Exodus, the second, chapter 22. What happens as you get past the Ten Commandments, when you've got Exodus and he's talking to the people here at the bottom of this mountain, these people have heard God's voice. And it shook them so deep to their core, they said, Moses, you go talk to God. If we have to listen to that very many times, it'll kill us. Whatever you tell us, we'll listen to you. And Moses said, here's what you asked me to do. Is that what you want? And everybody said, yes, go. And so Moses is now communicating with God, and he's coming back, and he's telling these people these things. But it's not some primitive people who are scared of a mysterious imaginary God who are now, you know, Moses saying, God told me to tell you this. Here's the laws that we need, right? It's people who heard God and said, that's too much. We can't bear it. Moses, tell us what he said. Okay, so Moses comes back down. And we have a problem when we read Scripture, which is something I'll refer to as the evolution of human government. We think that we're the ones who made up these ideas and that it got sort of inculcated into some scriptural expression of it, but that what's good and what's true is what's right, and the Bible is a way to get what's right to us. Some people think this, and not everybody in the room. If you're hearing this and it's foreign to you, that's fine. You haven't started to think like this yet. But the idea is that this human literature, this inspired word of God, is the historic representation of something that actually happened in the past. It is written by a person, right? But it's talking about things that really happened. And it's talking about things from, it purports to be a firsthand witness of what God said to Moses. Okay, so whether Moses wrote this himself or someone who wrote it for Moses, this is what Moses said. And Moses said what God said. So we read the word of God. These are the words of God. And so when you look in chapter 21, and we talked about that, it has things about slaves and about setting people free and about people fighting and about restitution for loss. And then it continues in chapter 22. There's stuff about stealing and that you have to pay back double if you steal something and you get caught. There's stuff about if you do damage to a neighbor's property, you have to make restitution. If there's a fire, if there's arson, you have to make up for the damage that costs. If something gets stolen from you while you're holding it for them, you have to pay it back. So that's what banks do, right? If banks get robbed, we're not out of our money. The banks were holding it for you. That idea comes from here. If it's an inside job, well, the person who did a breach of trust and said, oh, no, we got robbed, but they found out actually you robbed your own bank, there's actually a worse punishment. You know, you have to deal with that. If someone takes an oath before God, look, it wasn't an inside job, I didn't take it, I actually got robbed, your stuff is gone. The person taking an oath is acceptable because it's understood that if you make an oath to God and you're lying, God will deal with you severely. So if the person put their hand to their heart and said, you know, no, what do little kids say? Cross my heart, hope to die, right? Yeah, you take an oath, that's the matter settled. Really interesting stuff. Borrowing things and losing it, you're responsible. If you borrow something but the person's hanging out with you and it breaks, they lost their stuff. It's not your fault. You don't have to pay it back. If you rent something and it breaks, well, it came for its hire. You just give back the broken stuff and say, your stuff broke while I was using it. Interesting stuff covered here in Scripture. And it goes on and on and on. And then it says this line in chapter 22, verse 16. Look at what it says in chapter 22, verse 16 of Exodus. If a man seduces a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall give the bride price for her and make her his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the bride price for virgins. So there's a couple of things that come out of this little bit of Scripture. We are constantly asked to decide what is culture and what is biblical instruction. Do you understand that idea? Because this says a virgin, a bride, the father has a say, and if he doesn't, just pay the alimony. Right? And so it doesn't talk about the way that we understand the personal agency of a woman in the world today, back then. So you do have to, when you read a Bible, go, okay, there is something about biblical culture going on here that I need to understand. But there is a principle that comes out of this story from back then that applies to today. And what is it? What is culture and what's biblical instruction? Now, here's another thing. What are God's instructions about how to live our life, right? We don't balk at the idea, do not kill, when we read that commandment. Did anybody ever read the commandment that says, thou shalt not kill, and go, oh, well, hold on now. I don't know if that needs to be a rule, right? But we probably do think about grades of that. Premeditated murder, that's definite. Okay, that's kill. What about manslaughter? You know, people fight and someone hits someone too hard and they die. Is that killing? Thou shalt not kill. Soldiers shooting at each other in war. Is that killing? If you ask a Quaker, they'll tell you yes, they are conscientious objectors. They will not go and fight war. Right? Is a termination of life in a womb killing? We talked about that last week. You can listen to that. It's up on the website. The ending of life of a sick person. Is that killing? Something that we've heard called assisted suicide this year. So you see, we are constantly asked to decide what is culture and what is biblical instruction. And it's a serious question. On the death and assisted dying, assisted suicide, there was an assisted suicide Scotland bill in Scottish Parliament in May 2015. Do you know how the vote went? It was probably in the press, and so maybe you've seen it. It was 82 votes against the bill, 36 votes for the bill. Keith Brown, our local MSP, and Nicola Sturgeon, the Scottish First Minister, both voted against the bill. So I don't know if you knew that. That's just historical record. On September 11th, this month, there was the UK Parliament at Westminster bill. It was assisted suicide legislation. And that was 330 against and 118 in favor. So that was a majority of 212 people against assisted suicide. Our MP, Tasmina Ahmed Sheikh, was absent from that vote. She did not vote in that event. So under current legislation, helping someone to end their life is considered murder. Did you know that? Assisted suicide in the United Kingdom is murder. So right now, culturally, the UK views killing another person, even if they want to die, as murder. So we are constantly asked to decide what is culture and what's biblical instruction. It happens all the time. And now we're back to this verse in Exodus chapter 22, verse 16 and 17. If a man seduces a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall give the bride price to her, make her his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the bride price for virgins. So Scripture says here that sleeping together will result in marriage. And if the parents don't approve, just pay the alimony right away. Well, how do you feel about what I just said? Does what we just read in Exodus mean what I just said it means? If you sleep with someone, it results in marriage. So it's an uncomfortable silence.